cannot pull you. Dogmoni, that is, I'm here to greet you all. I'm glad this morning I don't have to preach in Dogmoni, though. It was a joy the 3 years that we were in Africa there to be able to learn the language, Brother Mark, and to preach in their own language. That was a great joy. God gave us the ability to do that, and through that we were able to teach the people there and plant a small church. I know it's late. I don't plan to preach long, but do open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. The title, as you may have seen on the schedules, is The Opening of the Evangelistic Heart. I'd like to show us this morning, you know, maybe some of you young people or others for that matter responded last evening, and you desire, you know, you have a passion for evangelism. You desire to be able to share the gospel with your next door neighbor, or maybe you're acquiring a vision for foreign missions. But you're wondering, how can that heart be opened up, you know, to the degree where I can share freely, I can share under the anointing of the Spirit of God, and there's just a flow of that river of living water flowing forth from my heart. You know, I for many years I was a roofer. That was my job. I worked for a roofing company, and for a while I was self-employed. But occasionally I do a side job now and then. You know, just on the side, maybe either roofing or a carpenter job of some kind. You know, the spreading of the gospel, is it to be our full-time occupation or a side job? Let me read in Romans chapter 1 here, verse 14. I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, even as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So I want to show us this morning that it's in the gospel, you know, that the righteousness of God is revealed. And that furthermore, we have a responsibility to bring that gospel to bear upon those whom God has laid upon our hearts. There's a debt that we have to pay this morning. Here Paul says, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. He seemed to have a people that he was in debt to. There was a people that he carried on his heart. I don't necessarily see this as, you know, that he was carrying maybe the whole world on his heart, although I believe in that message that you preach, Brother West, in a global view. But there's at times a people that God has laid upon our hearts, and that's more specifically the debt that I'm talking about this morning. Maybe it's simply your next door neighbor. You have a debt to pay with that individual. And I want us to get engaged this morning as we think of the gospel, as we think of sharing the gospel, that we realize it's not to be a side job. It's to be we're to be engaged in full-time ministry and getting this gospel out. Whether it's our next door neighbor, whether it's a town or a village that God is laying on our hearts, whether it's what you're seeing in the workshops, you know, with ministering the gospel to the tourists of your local town, or going into a rescue mission, or whatever God is laying upon your heart, that debt you have to pay. That's a debt that God is calling you to pay, to take care of. So this morning, we all have a debt, I believe, as we realize the gospel of Christ, the salvation of our own soul. We have a debt that needs to be paid. There's a debt to take care of. And I'd like to lay that upon our hearts this morning. You know, brother, the brethren that have been preaching, Brother Mark here, you know, his endeavor was to fulfill the ministry that God had called him to. I think of Paul, one place he says, he says to Epaphras, take heed to the ministry that thou fulfill it. And so we have a debt that needs to be paid. Are you being delinquent in your payments? Is there a delinquency? You know, as you think of your next door neighbor or that people that God has laid upon your heart, is there a delinquency in getting that debt taken care of? We all know that debt can be, there's nothing wrong necessarily with debt if the bills are being paid on time. There is something wrong when the time comes for the payment and it's not made, you become delinquent. And there's a responsibility there to get that thing taken care of. And as you think of the people that God has laid on your heart, is there a delinquency in getting that in getting that payment taken care of, in bringing that gospel to that people group, in bringing that gospel to your next door neighbor just across the street? You know God has been laying that neighbor on your heart, but you're afraid. Maybe there's fear. Maybe there's some other reason. Maybe you're just too busy. Let's remember this gospel call. We're not to take it as a side job. We're to take it as a full-time ministry in getting the debt paid, getting that debt taken care of. It's to be the passion of our life. You know, we identify people often by their occupations. He's a farmer. He's a blacksmith. You know, he's a fisherman. Are you a soul winner? You know, as you think of yourself in Christian service, do people identify you according to your involvement in the kingdom of God? Do they identify you as one who is engaged in the work? He is a soul winner. She's a prayer warrior. He's he loves discipling another soul and bringing him along in the faith. You know, are you identified by your engagement, according to your engagement in the work of the kingdom? Or are you identified just simply as the plumber? You know, and I don't want to leave this life without. I think it would be a grief in my life if I would leave this life. People would look at my cat down into the casket there, and they would say, you know, I would be identified as a good roofer, and that's all they would say of me. He was a good roofer. He did much good in the community and service in that way. But nothing would be said of me of my engagement in the kingdom of God. God forbid that would be the case when we lay there in our casket. I think of Paul, his testimony in Romans there. I think Brother Mark was in that scripture a little. You know, the testimony he left in greeting. He told the Roman church there to greet certain people. He said, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Orbain, our helper in Christ, and others. You could go on down the list there. You know, they were known by their gifting in the church, by their engagement in the kingdom of God. Let us be at that place, brothers and sisters, where we're known by our engagement in God's kingdom. Where we're known by who we are in the service of the Lord and the work of the Lord. We're in the kingdom of God. We're to be otherworldly. We're to be at a place showing forth the glory of His kingdom and the praises of this kingdom and identified with this kingdom. I just beseech us, brethren, sisters, who do we owe the gospel to this morning? Who do you have a debt to pay to? Let's turn our Bibles now to John chapter 15. How's this brought about? You know, as you think of having a passion for the lost, or a passion for souls, or a passion for ministry, you know, many of you young people, you responded to the altar call last evening. Maybe this morning you're wondering, how can I consistently have a passion for souls? How can I consistently have a love and a burden for those around me and be engaged in God's kingdom work? Well, I so appreciated your message, Brother Klaus, yesterday morning. But I'd like to just bring in another aspect this morning of having that intense desire and passion for souls, for the work of the kingdom. John chapter 15, verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Here in John 15, which this is a scripture that we all know well, Jesus brings forth this principle of abiding in Him. His desire is that much fruit is born from our lives. Much fruit. That we're a tree filled with luscious fruit for people to taste and see that the Lord is good. That's His heart, His passion. That our tree is filled with just luscious fruit, and fruit that people, you know, eat of and realize the goodness of the Lord. So this, anyway, in John 15, we could start at the beginning of the chapter. There it says, if ye abide in me, and that's what I'd like to just bring upon our hearts this morning. You know, we heard about Brother Emmanuel up here mentioning how Brother Mark, you know, over on the mission field there, getting up at 4:30 in the morning. And there he was, engaged in the work of the kingdom. And I'd just like to bring to bear upon our hearts this morning, you know, as you think of a love for the lost, a love for souls around you, of being engaged in God's kingdom work, there's that need of abiding in Christ. It won't happen. It won't happen by you just determining in your own heart and mind, well, I'm just going to grit my teeth and get involved. And I'm, you know, and that's a necessary element to have some determination. But there needs to be a flow of God's Spirit. There needs to be a flow of the Holy Spirit. And I'd just like to, you know, bring to bear upon our hearts the necessity of abiding in Christ. Where are you at in this area of abiding in Christ? Where are you at as you get up in a new day? Is there a connection with the Lord? Do you connect with your Heavenly Father, even as Jesus did? He said, what were His words there with that, you know, so much that without the Father's power, I can do nothing. I forget the exact words there, but Jesus' words here, or without me, you can do nothing. Do we see the need of Him in our daily lives? His Spirit, His power, His grace flowing through us. His love filling our lives as we interact with the souls of men. That we are full of the Holy Ghost. We are filled with the Spirit of God giving us divine direction. Giving us the love that is needed as we reach out to the souls of humanity. Whether it's to a brother or sister in our own congregation, or whether it's to a lost soul, that we are filled with the Spirit of God. And I'd just like to bring to bear upon you all of our hearts, and especially those of us who responded last evening, you know, young people, abide in Christ. Live that life of discipline. Live that life that is disciplined to the degree that you're meeting with God. You're communing with God. You're getting your day started in connecting with your Lord. You're connecting with Him. You're communing with Him. You get your day started with a spring in your step because you've connected with your Lord. You've received direction for the day. God is speaking. God's Spirit is throbbing and vibrating within you. As we go on in these verses, it says, "As the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love." Young people, all of us together, let's take the commands of Christ seriously. You know, and that comes again as we abide in Christ. He gives us, He writes His commands upon the tables of our heart. It's not in letter only, but it's as we abide in Christ. He speaks and His commands are written upon our hearts and we receive clear direction. And then there's the necessity to follow through in that which Christ has commanded us. The need to follow through, keeping His commandments, is where the love of Christ abides within. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. We all know that the love of Christ is needed as we go about engaging ourselves in God's kingdom work. We must be filled with love. We all know that. We speak that language. But where are we at in our hearts? You know, this morning as we think of engagement in God's kingdom service. Here it says, also it says here, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." These are two major ingredients to soul winning. Love and joy. Peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The love of God filling our hearts and lives from day to day. Knowing Him and thus knowing His heart and thus carrying His burdens. Jesus knew the Father's heart and thus He carried His burdens. You know, I think of us who are married in this room. You know, if we have a beautiful, godly marriage, you know, there's where love is flowing. You know, there's unity. There's care for one another. And we carry each other's burdens. And that's the kind of union that Christ desires us to have with Him. So where we're carrying His burdens for the world. His burdens. We're united with His burden. We're united with His visions and His passions for the lost around us. Mark chapter 1. You can turn there quickly. Mark chapter 1. Jesus here. You know, He had a busy day there in Capernaum, as many of us know about this passage of Scripture. And then in verse 35 it says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with Him followed Him. And when they had found Him, they said unto Him, All men seek for Thee. And He said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And He preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils." You know, Jesus in that early morning, despite the busy day He had had the day before, He saw the necessity of connecting afresh and anew with His Father. And He went out early in the morning, it says, and into a solitary place, and there He prayed and He connected with His Father. There He connected with His Heavenly Father fresh and anew. Now the disciples came along and said to Christ, you know, apparently they knew where He went to, and when they had found Him, they said, "All men seek for Thee." You know, they said, "All men, Jesus. Jesus is all men, just like yesterday. Let's get right back into ministry. Let's get right back into ministering to the same people. They're seeking for you. They're wanting your attention. There's many needs again. We have a full day ahead of us. Come on, Jesus. You know, come on, Lord. Let's get the day started. But Jesus, because He had met with His Father, had heard the heart of His Father. The heart of His... God had already told Him. His Father had already told Him. Son, there's other towns. There's other villages. There's another people. Just across the way here, a few miles. You know, I want you to go and minister to them today. He had heard His Father's heart. He had heard the heart of His Father through communing with His Father. He was there in that early morning hour He was there early that morning hour connecting with His Father. Connecting with the will of His Father. Connecting with His very heart. And that's what it takes if we're going to be successful, if we're going to be effective in the work of the kingdom of God. Especially this morning, I'm talking about evangelism. As we think of sharing the gospel, there must be that connection with the heart of your Lord. That you're connected. That you're spending those early morning hours alone with God. Alone with Him. Getting the heart of your Master. Getting fresh direction. Seeking His grace and His power to accomplish His will for the day. Without You, Lord, I can do nothing. I need Your Spirit. I need Your grace flowing through this vessel. That I may be effective today and that I can effectively accomplish Your will and Your purpose for me in this given day that I have here in the earth. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I know Brother Daniel Kennison has taught on this. I hope it was long enough ago that maybe some of you didn't hear him, but I so appreciated this passage of Scripture. When I first heard it, and it was expounded there, it says in verse 11, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory in our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." This morning, I'd just like to bring, you know, as we think of this passage of Scripture, knowing the terror of the Lord. You know, first of all, as we think of the terror of the Lord, you know, it's just gripping my heart more and more as I go, you know, especially the last number of weeks here. Christ, God is just doing a work in my own heart in regards to lost humanity around me. You know, every soul that I look into, every eye that I look into is destined for an eternal place somewhere. Either an eternal home in heaven or an eternal destination of hell. They're destined to end up in one place or the other. Either right now, that soul is a part of the kingdom of Satan or a part of the kingdom of God. Every soul that you meet in a given day is in one kingdom or another. It's just gripping my heart more and more, you know. Every soul that I look into. You know, the man at the gas station that you meet, you speak a few words to. And I know we don't necessarily always find opportunity to preach the gospel. But Paul does say, "Let your moderation be known to all men, the Lord is at hand." Some way, shape, or form. There Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say rejoice. I believe a rejoicing attitude and spirit, somehow God can use that to make known to all men that the Lord is at hand. You know, so God's heart is everywhere we go. Somehow that our spirit and our attitude and our heart and our words exude that Christ lives in me, that God is at hand. But anyway, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I'm so blessed, Brother Mark, with your just the persuasion you brought that was brought upon that tribe using the Word of God. It was a real challenge to me, using God's Word. God's Word has power behind it as it's spoken in the Spirit. God's Word will not return void as it goes forth in the Spirit of God into the hearts of those you're ministering to. It will not return void. And I believe that void, either it'll bring further judgment to that individual if there's not a response, or it'll draw him nigh to Christ. God's Word will not return void as it's breathed forth by the Spirit. And that's why it's so important to be full of the Spirit of God. Because I believe the Word of God, in essence, can't return void if it's just spoken in a haphazard way. But it's when it's breathed out by the Spirit of God, brought to bear upon the heart of man, God's promises, it will not return void. But anyway, down through this passage, Paul says in verse 14 here, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." You know, Paul came to the conclusion that all are sold under sin. All are dead in trespasses and sins. Therefore, all must have life in Christ before there can be an eternal life beating within that individual. But Paul says the love of Christ constrains me. The love of Christ, in essence, drags me along. You know, it constrains me. And that's my heart is this morning is, where are we at? Is the love of Christ constraining us? Is there a passion in you? Is there a passion in your heart that is, in essence, dragging you along to share the gospel, to bring it to bear upon those around you in your neighborhood? That debt that God has given you to have paid. Is the love of Christ constraining you to get that debt taken care of? Or is there just a haphazardness about your attitude with souls around you? Souls around you, you don't really care. Or maybe you think you do, but you're so involved in business and the entanglements of this life, you have no time. There's something wrong. Stop if there's no time, if the love of Christ is not constraining you. Stop and evaluate where you're actually at in your Christian walk. Because the love of Christ does constrain those who are truly sold out to Him, to where He's the Lord of their life and His passions are burning in their heart. There will be a constraint. There will be a bringing along. There will be a dragging along into sharing the gospel. I mean, Jeremiah, I think it's Jeremiah or Ezekiel said, you know, I tried to shut up, but I couldn't. It burned in my bones. Let's let that be our intense desire that burns within us. The passion for those around us that we see that they're headed for an eternity. One place or another, every soul that you look into, whose eyes you look into, they're headed for an eternal destiny. Let those passions burn in our hearts. You know, Paul said here in verse 16, he said, "Wherefore henceforth, know we no man after the flesh." Paul looked at every human being, and he didn't look at their physical body any longer, but he looked at the possibilities they had in Christ. He says, "I know no man after the flesh any longer. But I look at every human being and I see what they could be in Christ." Yea, though we have known, and he brought in some strong words here. He says, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. You know, it was evident, it was very evident that Christ had died, has risen again, and, you know, Paul and the disciples no longer knew Christ in the flesh. That's how Paul viewed every human being. He says, I know no man after the flesh any longer, but I see their spirit. And I see there the possibilities of what they could be in Christ, of the new creature they could be, just like Christ who rose again from the dead in newness of life. He saw the new creation that could be formed within them, that could be simply, you know, as they're born of the Spirit of God, their sin nature washed away, their sins gone. The newness and through the operation of God, a new creature in Christ Jesus. So do we see souls around us in that way? When you meet the drunkard or a neighbor or someone who's just despicable and you look at him or her and you think, well, you know, I just really would rather share the gospel with someone else. He's so, you know, he's sold under sin and his attitude stinks. So I'm going to venture somewhere else to share the gospel and just, you know, maybe shy away from those who God actually would have you to reach out to. God wants us. You know, it just down in our workshop there, we're sharing some on the elderly and it's just really brought me to an awareness just through some experiences we've had the last half year with both the elderly and particular man who was in the hospital and got saved, you know, of God's love for all humanity. God's love for the elderly. Those elderly who you look at and do they really understand the gospel yet, or are they even at a place where they can comprehend? God wants God's heart is, He still wants to draw them in. Does He want to use you and I in our own communities? The opening of the evangelistic heart. Okay, let's go on here. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus promised to you this morning, if you're not a fisher of men, He said, if you follow me, I will make you a fisher of men. If you allow yourself to be a disciple of mine, I promise you, I will make you that. So maybe you're at that place this morning, you think, well, how can I become an effective fisherman? Follow Christ. Again, He will make you a fisher of men. He'll make you an effective fisherman. I still remember back at the farm there where I live, growing up, we had a lake nearby, and I used to go fishing there. And we tried different lures and worms sometimes, and we discovered pretty soon that bass, the bass love the spinners. And we wound them in one after the other. You know, it took a little bit of time to understand maybe how to effectively catch a bass. But, you know, so sometimes we need to find our way in what is effective, but get busy and you'll find out. You know, get engaged in the work of the kingdom. Get engaged in souls around you. And God will help you to know what is effective and what some effective strategies are. You know, there was many different approaches that Christ used. Christ, the rich young ruler, He used the Ten Commandments to bear upon His heart. You know, that was what Christ used to Him. He brought the commandments to bear upon His heart. And at the end of it all, the young man turned away. But I like Christ. You know, I think Jesus purposefully brought out in the Gospels there that He looked upon that young rich ruler, and it says He loved him. Even though He spoke some very hard words to him, in essence, and the young ruler turned away, it's evident that Christ loved him in the midst of saying those strong words. And sometimes that's necessary in evangelism. There's a necessity to say some hard things, some strong things. But is the love of God, you know, make sure that behind it, the love of God is burning in your heart. Zacchaeus invited himself to his house. He called him out of the tree. He ate dinner with Zacchaeus. You know, there was a relationship built there. And through that, Zacchaeus was brought into the kingdom. You know, there's different ways. There's different strategies that Christ used. There's different approaches. And that's all. Again, it comes down to our communion with our Lord. It comes down to our connection with Christ. Walking in the Spirit, sensing. What is the approach here that needs to be taken with this individual, with this people group, with this rescue mission? And I know I might be mentioning more things this morning that are applicable to where we live, but that's where most of us live anyway, right? So, let's go on here. So there's that need sometimes to befriend people, to befriend them and to just share and, you know, sow seeds and just gradually bring the gospel to bear upon their hearts. Then there's a woman at the well. Jesus using present day analogies. He started with something she could identify with. He goes from physical water to spiritual water, to showing her her sin, to showing her what true worship is all about. You know, Jesus took her somewhat step by step there. You know, something she could identify, something tangible she could get a hold of and say, this is, you know, okay, this is what Jesus is talking about. You know, she got the picture of this living water with the physical analogy and was brought to Christ. Her sin was addressed, all of that. Jesus didn't bypass the sin, but He didn't start there. Jesus did not start right away with the sin. He led her up to the sin problem in her life. It says she, at the end of it all, she believed, and many more Samaritans in her own town came to the saving knowledge of Christ. The woman caught in adultery. Some are simply ready to be plucked. You know, I still remember when I was a young person, I went to a local Mennonite church and they took us, the youth leader, or maybe I was the youth leader. I think I was. We went on a fishing trip, deep sea fishing trip. And for some reason that day, I was just throwing my line in and catching them one after the other. Just one after the other. You know, they were hungry. They were ready to be plucked out of that water. And you know, I was able to, in essence, net them right in. And some souls are at that place. You know, the woman caught in adultery, she was fully right. All that Jesus spoke to her that is recorded is, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. Or He might have asked her a few questions before that. But those were the words. She was a ripe soul to be plucked. So there's many different approaches, but we need to be led by the Spirit of God. Be led by the Spirit of the Lord as we go forth and engage ourselves in soul winning and God's kingdom work around us. Do we care how we present the gospel? Do we relate to a soul? As Christ did, does the love of Christ constrain us? Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Sometimes there's a need to win them. He that winneth souls is wise. Paul said in Romans chapter 15, Paul says, I'm sure that when I come to you, I'm sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. You know, as you go forth, is there a fullness within you as you reach out to those around you? Paul had that assurance in his heart that when I come to you, church at Rome, I'm going to come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Fullness. Okay, the last point here. I know it's almost 12 here. The joy of harvest. The joy of harvest. St. John chapter 4. The joy of harvest. What a joy it is to be involved in harvesting the souls of men. Here in John chapter 4 it says, verse 31, "In the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." You know, that was Christ's heart, to finish the work. The disciples came to them as he was there at the woman at the well, and they offered him physical food to eat. And Jesus just simply said, I have meat you know not of. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with the meat that I'm eating and experiencing at this moment. So I just want to encourage us, be engaged in the kingdom, in the work of the kingdom. Meat is strengthening. Meat is sustaining. And meat, meat gives fullness of life. And Jesus just simply said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. That's my meat. Christ said, that's my meat. I want to finish the, and that should be our heart this morning. Lord, I want to finish the purpose you brought me here to the earth for. I'm going to finish that work. Paul looked back over his life. He said, I've finished my course. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished my course. And that's the essence. From all appearance here, he finished it with great joy. He knew he had fulfilled God's calling upon his life. He knew he had fulfilled the ministry. Here in verse 34 now of chapter 4, Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do... I'm sorry, verse 35. Say not ye that there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. It's a joy, like I said, to harvest souls. And the fields are ripe around us. The fields are ripe around us. And in essence, I see Jesus saying, enter into my joy. Lift up your eyes, disciples. Enter into the joy that I'm experiencing. Just lift up your eyes to the harvest. And you'll find yourself eating the same meat that I'm partaking in. Lift up your eyes. Get involved in harvesting the souls of men. Your life will likewise experience the eating of this meat, where there's fullness of joy and life abundantly. Fields are ripe, brothers and sisters. The longer I go on in life, the more I see how ripe they are. I just see it. I mean, it's just that simple. I'm a minister, and I at times wish that I could broaden myself. And I think that was the heart of Christ. Christ realized He could do only so much. And so let's get engaged. Each one of us has a place in God's kingdom work. Each one of us. To bring in the harvest of souls. To get that debt paid that God has given you to pay. Psalms 126. The examples of great joy over the salvation of souls. There's great joy over the salvation of souls. We see many examples in Scripture. In the prodigal son, there was great rejoicing after he returned home. There was great rejoicing over one sheep that was found. Great rejoicing. Last Sunday or a few Sundays ago, some youth came back from a prison experience they had. They were volunteers in a prison to share the gospel. And they came back with great joy. There's just joy in the service of the Lord. And especially, I believe, in soul winning. In being engaged in bringing the gospel to bear upon the hearts of lost humanity. But anyway, Psalms 126...
Psalms 126, and then I'll close here. It says here, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves with him. There's joy in bringing people out of captivity, brothers and sisters. There's joy in that. There's great joy in seeing a soul saved. I remember a few years ago, and just back in one of these rooms here, in Bible school, you know, there was a young girl who, she didn't understand the tenets of faith. She understood some what repentance was, but it did not seem like she was born again. And when I was able to share with her what faith in Christ is all about and how it's Jesus that rescues you from sin instead of your own determination to get rid of your sin problem, her face just lit up with hope and all of a sudden realizing, you know, there's hope for me in my sinful state. There's hope that I can get out of this. I just simply need to be rescued. Oh, it was such a joy. And you know, those type of things just cause joy to our hearts. You know, as we're engaged in the work of the kingdom. Right now in our home, we have a young girl who was in a mental facility for a number of years. And through working with her, she's gotten free of medication. And I helped her get a vehicle. And she's moving on with her life. She's ready to move out of our home just shortly because she's ready to move on with her life. The joy of seeing souls come to Christ, being changed from the inside out, being delivered, being set free from captivity. What a joy. Oh, it's a great joy. Okay, in closing, the evangelistic heart is only open as you exercise it. I remember a quote by many of us know about David Wilkerson. I just remember a quote years ago that he had in one of his newsletters. A man came to him and he said, you know, I wish that I could somehow have more of a burden for souls. You know, I wish God would give me an experience where I would actually dream that I went to Hell's Gate or actually somehow went there in spirit, that I could get a burden for souls. And this man was already sharing the gospel, and David just looked at him and he said, you know, young man, you do have a burden. He was exercising himself. This young man was, he didn't understand, he was a little confused as to what a burden is all about. The burden is, we need to walk by faith. You know, our feelings come and go like Brother Emmanuel was sharing, but it's a walk of faith. There's not always a great feeling of desire there to share with a soul. But our commitment to Christ brings it forth. Our commitment to our Savior or to our Lord. Somehow, we're committed. We know we're committed. And my responsibility is to this soul. Whether I feel this great burden or not, he deserves the gospel. He deserves that I bring the gospel to bear upon his heart. He deserves to hear. Commitment and walking in faith versus just feelings of burden. Have that commitment of your heart, that vision. Without a vision, the people perish. But you have a vision that takes you through the tough times, the wilderness experiences, and you move on, continuing to minister effectively to souls around you. Get engaged and your heart will open wide. Exercise that heart of yours. Exercise that evangelistic heart. Exercise it, brothers and sisters. You know, it comes, many things come in life. Many patterns are formed as we exercise ourselves in those things. They're then formed. So exercise yourself in evangelism. And that flower that was once like this, those young people who responded last evening, you know, you're thinking and you're
your heart, you know, how can that evangelistic heart of mine open? It just seems like it's closed. I'm fearful. You know, begin to exercise it, and that heart of yours will begin to open. Pretty soon it will be a flower that will just be in full bloom. Exercise yourself. God wants to use you, young people. Salvation Army, right, Brother Denny, was filled with young people sharing the gospel. God wants to use all of us for that matter. But I know many of you young people responded last evening. And I believe you responded out of love to Christ, out of a love for the souls of humanity around you. Open wide your heart. God will fill it. And the love of Christ will constrain you. God wants to open up that evangelistic well inside of you. Remember the promise of Jesus. Brothers, sisters, he that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow forth rivers of living water. Christ wants to open up that well inside of you and bring rivers of living water to flow into hearts, to all kinds of hearts around you. Rivers. It's a promise. It's God's Word. So let's open up that heart of ours and allow Christ to have His way. Be knitted with His purpose for our lives. God bless.
Thank you, Brother Mal. I'm challenged. Are you? I wish Brother Mal could have time to tell you the story of the man they were able to lead to Christ just days before he died, and then baptize him, and his whole family came a couple months ago. It was real exciting for our church. One of our church families went to a hospital to sing for somebody who was in there, and a couple rooms over, somebody said, "Could you come sing for our dad?" or whoever, you know, and they ended up, yeah, then Mel went back and met with him and led him to the Lord. And there's just so many opportunities. And let's open up our hearts. Thank you, brother.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.